You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Pro Bowl voting is here. An awesome Pro Bowl starts with awesome players, and your vote helps decide who gets a spot on the AFC and NFC rosters. Show your love, cast your vote, and make sure your favorite players make it to the 2020 Pro Bowl. Vote today and be entered to win exclusive prizes at NFL.com/Pro Bowl vote.
And now, Move the Sticks. 10 takeaways from Week 13 with Daniel Jeremiah, Bucky Brooks, and Rhett Lewis.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Move the Six, presented by AARP, DJ, Bucky, and Rhett. I say that, Rhett. Bucky's going to join us a little later on in the show.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He's not here right now.
Yeah.
He's going to be here, and we've got a lot of takeaways to get to today, my friend. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. The old oaken bucket is back in its rightful home back in Bloomington, Indiana. All is right with the world, DJ. We're in good shape, my friend.
I've got to give you some love, and I'll give Bucky some love as well, because you saw Mac Brown celebrating, dancing in the locker room at the University of North Carolina. They're going bowling. Your Indiana Hoosiers, one of the best years they've had in a long time. Congratulations. My team's just number 20 in the country, but we don't need to talk about
well,
that.
We can, but also, how about a lot of love to Appalachian State down in the Miami Dolphins-Philadelphia Eagles game? You know why that fake field goal was called the Mountaineer shot, right? Because
no, I did not. I didn't.
Because of the long snapper Kilgore went to App State. And there it is. So that's why they called it the Mountaineer shot.
I love it. So I love that.
That's
a takeaway.
App State in the NFL, baby.
A takeaway before the takeaways.
That's right.
I love it. All right. We're going to get to Bucky a little bit later on. He's going to have a couple takeaways at the end of the program. But let's start off with my first one. Jump right in here. The big Sunday night game. The Houston Texans find themselves in the driver's seat.
Deshaun hands off to Johnson. Now to Hop right side. He flips the ball to Watson. Diving for the pylon. And he's got it. Razzle dazzle. Touchdown, Houston. Deshaun Watson with a touchdown coming from his buddy, DeAndre Hopkins. Beautiful.
And DeAndre Hopkins took a shot before he delivered that pitch to Deshaun Watson. That scared me a little bit. But look, trick play, it was fun, wasn't needed. This is a team that really I thought the Patriots made a late run, but they controlled this football game. And I think when I say control their own destiny in the driver's seat inside that division with the one-game lead on the Tennessee Titans, this is a Houston Texans team that I thought frustrated the New England Patriots throughout this entire football game. And finally were able to get past this hurdle. I think, what, 0-5 previously against this bunch with Bill O'Brien as the head coach. So it was a big one for them.
Yeah. Were the Patriots more frustrated? Was Tom Brady more frustrated with what Romeo Crennel and the Texans defense was doing to them or by the receivers that the Patriots are trotting out there right now? I mean, like, I think it arguably could go either way.
Yeah, that was frustration. When I watched the All-22, you can see Tom Brady after several throws putting his hands on top of his helmet. You can only imagine what he's saying underneath his breath.
Right.
But guys not settling in zones. We always talk about when you're running routes in the man versus zone route. You know this as well as anybody, but you don't run to get covered.
No.
When you get to space in a zone, just settle up, give the quarterback your numbers. Several instances of miscommunication there. Then they're able to get some inside pressure on Brady, which we've talked about forever being something every quarterback hates, but just collapsing the pocket on him. No rhythm, no confidence, no feel. It's a bad Patriots offense, man. Let's call it what it is.
Yeah, and I know you're going to break that down for us 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern time on the Aftermath today. And look, for the Patriots, this level of frustration that we've seen from Tom Brady in the offensive side of the ball reminds me of 2013, specifically a Thursday night football game early in the season against the Jets, in which they won, but barely, against a bad Jets team, 13-10. And Gronk was hurt that season, as you might remember. And Tom Brady was left to deal with a rookie receiver in Aaron Dobson, who was a second-round pick, and then an undrafted free agent in Kenbrell Tompkins. And Julian Edelman was all they had in the pass game outside of those two. So this reminds me of that year where they actually ended up going on a winning streak and finding themselves in the AFC Championship game after getting a bye. And then they just had nothing for the Broncos in that championship game in 2013. They might get there this year that same way, but just sub in the Ravens in the AFC Championship game because they will not win in Baltimore with this team. That's the way it feels.
The thing giving me confidence with them was if they were at home. But now you see it here, the Ravens take over that top overall spot. They have to go on the road. That changes things, in my opinion.
Yeah, and look, just lastly on this one for the Texans, I don't think we can overstate how big of a win this is for this crew. You mentioned it, 0-5 against Bill Belichick for Bill O'Brien, coach Texans teams. But what have we seen before? They've won the AFC South before a couple of times. I mean, more than a couple of times here for Bill O'Brien. But what happens in the playoffs? Even if they do get past that first round, which they haven't a couple of times here, they run into the Patriots. And they've got, you know, you just have no confidence that they're going to go into Foxborough and beat the Patriots. This year, they've proven now that they can do that. So this gives them a lot of confidence moving forward. All right, I'll get us to our second takeaway of the day here, DJ, and that is that Mike Vrabel is the owner of the best coaching decision in the NFL this year.
Tannehill, two receivers either side, takes the snap. Play fake, rolling to his right, comes back, goes deep downfield. There's Raymond running under it. Did he catch it? Yes, he did. Touchdown, Titans! Khalif Raymond, his sixth NFL catch, his first NFL touchdown, and Khalif Raymond went and got it, and the Titans are 13 in front.
Ryan Tannehill, winner in 5 of his 6 starts as the Titans quarterback after they benched Marcus Mariota in the 6th week of his 5th season. All 5 seasons, they've trotted Marcus Mariota out as a starting quarterback, as the face of their franchise. But this year, they brought in Ryan Tannehill, and that has proven to be a terrific move by John Robinson and the crew in the front office there. In fact, I would say, DJ, that the best decision that John Robinson has made is the one to not give Marcus Mariota a contract extension after he took him to the second round of the playoffs in 2017. You know, I know the numbers didn't quite support making him, you know, one of the highest paid quarterbacks in football, but that's something that we could have easily seen a team do after taking them kind of deep into the playoffs a couple of years ago. That was a great move. And this was a great move by Mike Vrabel. It's a hard decision to make. I don't care how poorly the quarterback's playing at that point. This is a hard decision for him to make, and it was a great one. So here's the thing that we have to try to decide now. So Tannehill, in the one loss, look, they threw it like 39 times. That's not going to win you games, especially when you got Derrick Henry in the backfield playing as well as he is right now. Since that loss, though, here's what Tannehill's done. 19 attempts, 18 attempts, 22 attempts. He's completed no less than 68% of those attempts in those games. Six touchdowns, zero interceptions, a passer rating no less than 131 on this current three-game win streak. The confidence that the Titans have in him is obvious. Go back to the play you just saw and the radio call you just heard. They're up seven. This is following a Jacoby Brissett interception, and they're trying to run out the clock with over 3 minutes to go. And they don't just hand it to Derrick Henry three times. They take a deep shot with Ryan Tannehill, and it's his best throw of the game, and it's the absolute dagger. They don't make that play call, and Marcus Mariota doesn't make that throw. That's the difference.
All right, I want to get to a couple things here. So I want to touch on Tannehill. I want to touch on Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
But before we do that, I want to play a little schedule game for you, okay?
Okay.
So I'm going to tell you their four remaining games. We're going to go one at a time, and you tell me win or loss, okay? You ready?
Got it.
All right, next up, on the road at the Raiders, win or loss?
Win.
Okay. Next game, at home against the Texans.
Loss.
Okay. Next game, at home versus the Saints.
Oh, boy. I'm going to give them a win.
Okay.
A win.
And then last week of the season, on the road at the Texans.
I mean, that could be for the division right there. I think I give them a loss
there.
There's
a point
there.
To this.
Yeah.
I'm going to get to it. Okay, so you gave them two wins, two losses.
Yeah, so they're down.
Their record right now is 7-5.
9-7.
That gets them to 9-7. 2016, what were they?
9-7.
2017, what were they?
9-7.
2018, what were they?
Were they 9-7 last year?
Three straight years they've been 9-7. And while I give them tremendous credit for Ryan Tannehill and the job he's doing, I can't help but think we are running right towards 9-7 for the fourth straight year.
That's a tough stretch
for the Tennessee Titans. So that's
if they beat the Saints. I mean, like, maybe they split with the Texans down the stretch and maybe they don't beat the Saints.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
But either
you split with them.
Either way, it's 9-7. Either way, it's 9-7. That's a good point.
Pretty nuts. But Ryan Tannehill is going to get paid. The Tennessee Titans, the decision is being made for them. A lot of times in life, I'll tell people, not just in football, but in any walk of life, don't stress over those big decisions out in the future. A lot of times those decisions kind of make themselves. And Ryan Tannehill has proven that he can be their guy going forward. Alex Smith, to me, is the comparison when you look at what he can do with the pieces around him. Alex Smith won a lot of football games with the Kansas City Chiefs. I can't see why with Ryan Tannehill going forward for at least a couple years here that he can't have a similar type output.
And last thing I'll say about it, you're right. And I feel like the next four games, though, might have more to say about Tannehill's future in Tennessee than the previous six, considering the level of opponent and what's at stake. I mean, if we go back to look at what Tannehill's numbers are right now, they're fantastic. Go back to his career in Miami. He only had one season where he didn't throw double-digit interceptions as a starter, and that was a season in which he only played 11 games. So, I mean, like, what are you getting? Is this the aberration, or is this him turning the corner? Right. I don't know.
That's so who he is.
That's the decision you got to make there.
Well, in the vein of Alex Smith, Ryan Tannehill will stay in that same tree here in terms of tier of quarterback, because I want to get to my next takeaway here belongs in Cincinnati. And I don't know where it's going to be. I don't know if it's going to be the Bengals or somewhere else, but Andy Dalton will be starting at quarterback for someone next season.
17 yards on the play, first and 10 at the 17 of the Jets. Dalton fakes a handoff from the pocket, throws over the middle.
Oh,
it is caught for a touchdown by Tyler Boyd. Andy Dalton threading the needle between two New York Jets defenders. And with that touchdown pass, the Red Rifle stands alone. Career touchdown pass number 198 in his NFL career, more than any other quarterback in Bengals history.
I was happy for Andy Dalton to see that performance in that game, get them their first win of the season over the New York Jets, which is another conversation, having lost to the Miami Dolphins, giving them their first win, and here they lose the Cincinnati Bengals, give them their first win. But Andy Dalton is a good, not great quarterback, and I think sometimes we think of him always a disappointment. This guy won a lot of football games, been to the postseason. I know things haven't gone their way once they got there. But you look at this team without Andy Dalton, look how hapless they were. This is an organization that has not, you know, before he got into the mix here, won a lot of football games going back, you know, what, a decade plus. He kind of rescued them, made them relevant. He can go somewhere next year, start, and be a playoff-caliber quarterback. I don't think he's an elite player by any stretch, but I think he's a top 15 guy. When he's on, when he's playing well, up at his potential, at his ceiling, I think he's a 14, 15th type starter in the league, which is pretty darn good, and a lot of people would take that right now.
Whew, man, this is a tough call because this is something where you could actually be looking at the Bengals being without their first and second round stack in that 2011 draft, because AJ Green could be on his way out as well, which would be a complete changing of the guard for the Bengals. Rip down, tear it up, and try to build it back together here. That's kind of interesting. Dalton, $17.7 million. He's actually under contract in 2020, but they're free to cut him. There's no dead money. It certainly seems like he's perhaps on his way out here. So the question then becomes philosophical. And if you're in line for that number one pick, are you going quarterback and then, you know, maybe hope to get the next best edge rusher with your second round pick? Or is Chase Young too good to pass up at number one overall and maybe hope that, you know, maybe you're enamored with Jalen Hurts in the second round, or maybe you can get back into the bottom of the first and steal a Tua in the late teens or 20s if he falls that far? I mean, that's one of those conversations that the Bengals will be having here at the end of the season.
It's fascinating because if you look at it and you look at the offensive line coming back healthy next year with Cordy Glenn,
Jonah Williams,
you look at getting Jonah Williams healthy.
Yeah.
And then you look at Andy Dalton, who's only 32 years old. If you can get solid, steady play, you go draft Chase Young with the first
there it is.
Pick. That's going to infuse your defense. In a game, we saw Dunlap had, what, 3 sacks in that ball game. Now you throw Chase Young on the other side. I mean, all of a sudden now it's like, man, we could be a – now, we're on the doorstep here. We could be a playoff team, which sounds nuts for a team that just got their first win in week 13.
And then you still go get, you know, a guy who you could consider your developmental quarterback maybe in the second round. Maybe that does fit a Jalen Hurts type of bill or somewhere down that, you know, maybe a Jordan Love somewhere down the road if that ends up happening. You know, those are some of the options.
Big decisions ahead.
Yeah, no question. Look, I think we're teeing it up kind of in order here, because my next takeaway is that the Bucs and the Jags have some big quarterback calls to make after seeing them both go head-to-head this past Sunday.
Shotgun formation. Nick Foles changes the play. Shouts something to his three receivers. Little right here is the snap. Thought the tackle moved offside. Pass up. It's intercepted. Picked off. And the Buccaneers have the ball. And it's picked off by Devin White. A couple of sacks last week. A pick here today. And the Buccaneers stop Nick Foles and the Jaguars. How about that? We need takeaways if we come up with a big one.
All right, so look, we saw what happened with Nick Foles. If you want to start there, fine. We'll start there with the Jacksonville Jaguars here. 3 turnovers on their first 3 possessions. I think Nick Foles is a better quarterback than that. And look, I don't think you can put all of the sacks on him that ended up being strip sacks that led to those 2 fumbles. The interception, maybe, you know, you throw that in his column there, obviously. But look, what do you do if you're the Jaguars? Do you feel good enough about the contract that you handed to Nick Foles to trot him out there next season as your opening day starter? Do you feel confident in what you've seen from Gardner Minshew and what's been a little bit of an up and down here? Remember, you know, he played poor enough in London for them to go back to Nick Foles. I don't know what the Jaguars do, and it might be a part of a bigger problem for the Jaguars. I mean, they got problems on defense, which has been the one side where you can be like, all right, look, we know we got this defense we can rely on. Let's just run the football and not try to lose games on offense. Now I don't know where they go. It does start at quarterback to me. They got to figure that out for sure. Are you sold that the quarterback for 2020 for the Jacksonville Jaguars is currently on their roster?
Weirdly enough, I am. I think it's Gardner Minshew. I think that's their quarterback they can go forward with. And I think there was a little bit of an overreaction to how poorly he played over in London. That was a Houston game, right?
Right.
So he just played poorly. And no touchdowns, 2 picks, still threw for 300 yards. But in terms of a rookie, you stack up his games. There is a lot more good than there is bad in what you've seen from him. And then with Nick Foles, I mean, I get it. It's an uncomfortable conversation.
$22 million backup quarterback?
Just given him. I go back to Pete Carroll and I go back to Russell Wilson and Matt Flynn, and I know this
Flynn wasn't making $22 million.
He was making what, 12? Was it 12 million? I mean, it was a different time.
Yeah, it was a different quarterback market. Yeah,
it was still eyebrow raising when they made the decision
right.
to do that. But you can't to me, you can't preach like all these coaches do and all these organizations do. We preach competition, best man plays. You can't tell me Nick Foles is a better player right now than Gardner Minshew. And I know what he did in Philadelphia. That was lightning in a bottle, and that worked.
Right. We've also seen what Gardner Minshew
brings life and juice to this team.
Yeah, we've also
If I'm playing, look, I do the Charger games, Rhett, and, I'll get ready this week for the Jacksonville Jaguars. But I can tell you from my perspective, if you're the Chargers, I'm much rather play against Minshew. Nick Foles and Gardner Minshew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I get you there. Man, it's just like that's just a ton of money that they still owe Nick Foles. You know, maybe they can figure out a way to get him out of there.
Who gives you the best chance to win? Let's not make it more complicated than it is. Right. I know the money is the money, and that's embarrassing, and that's unfortunate. It is. It happened.
Yeah.
You took a shot, and so far it hasn't paid off. But so, you also can look at it. Instead of taking a quarterback in the first round, you might have just found a gem.
Right, maybe you did.
Late in the, it cost you nothing there. So it's the quarterback position. Let's look at it that way. You just look at what are we paying the quarterback position. And you're okay.
So going back to your takeaway previous to this, if Andy Dalton is going to be a starter in the NFL next season, can the same be said for Jameis Winston?
Oh, I think so. Yeah, I definitely think so. And I think he's going to be in Tampa. I think there's a lot of support for him inside that building. And while it's a roller coaster ride, and I've been on the record saying I don't think that you can, you know, be consistent and sustain success when you have a quarterback that's that up and down as he's been throughout his entire career, high highs, low lows. But there's a lot of ability there. You see it. His ceiling is high, man. When he's on, he can play with anybody. But he just hasn't been able to escape those moments. In this particular game, he did.
Yeah, I think you're right. But what's it going to take to get him back there? Do you try to buy yourself a little time, stick him on the franchise tag with a 1 year deal rather than, you know, shelling out the $150 million that it may cost to give him market value?
I will be fascinated to see what happens there
right.
because I don't think you can do the full blown commitment.
Right.
I think I'd present him with a couple options, which is, hey, we're going to franchise you. If you want a little bit more guaranteed money, we'll do a 2 or a 3 year deal, and
right.
you can get some more of that guaranteed money. But I can't extend this thing beyond that. I just haven't seen enough to warrant it.
No, I'm with you on that. That's what seems to make the most sense at this point.
All right, let's keep it going here. Yep. Let's go to I feel like I've done this takeaway a couple times this year. Oh, man, the Philadelphia Eagles are lost.
This is it, 2 seconds. Wentz steps up. He pumps. He is firing as far as he possibly can. And it is batted around and intercepted by the Dolphins. The game is over, and it was indeed intercepted, and coming up with the ball at long last was Chris Lamont, and that's it.
First of all, just as a former quarterback, can we eliminate Hail Mary interceptions from the stat sheet? They shouldn't count. I mean, you're just throwing it up there. I mean, it shouldn't count as an interception. But that's another story for another day. This was not an Eagles offense thing. I know a lot of people are going to bang on Carson Wentz for what he did or didn't do. You cannot give up 37 points to Miami Dolphins. You cannot allow 23 second half points to Miami Dolphins. Devontae Parker played well. He had a huge game, probably best game of his career, winning 50-50 balls and did a really nice job. But, man, they made him look like Randy Moss. And they need to overhaul the secondary. It's not one or two guys. It is wholesale changes. This, to me, was about the defense. We've picked on the offense and all their issues. This was not an offensive deal today. In this game, this was a defensive situation.
Right. Is there one piece of that secondary that you want to build around? I mean, you got Sidney Jones was inactive in this game. You got Ronald Darby.
Malcolm Jenkins is older.
Jalen Mills, you know, I don't know if you can trust that. You Cravon LeBlanc. I mean, I don't know where to go, you know, who to keep there. Does anybody want to win the NFC East, by the way? I mean, is anybody going to do it?
I know. Is this going to be a 7? It's going to be one of those 7-9.
Hey, the Redskins won yesterday. Are they still in it? Are they still in it?
They're still alive. They're still alive. It's ridiculous.
Oh.
But I'll be anxious to see what happens. I know they just Howie Roseman's getting a bunch of deals done. Gets Lane Johnson done. I think it points to
that's their MO, right?
There's a belief around the league. There's a confidence around the league talking to folks. They believe that this new CBA is going to get done sooner than later. And you see smart people like Howie Roseman trying to get as many of these extensions done as they can before the salary cap expands.
So, right.
Fascinating to see that. But that aside, I think you're going to see I don't want to say wholesale, that's a strong word, but you are going to see massive changes to this roster in the offseason. They need to churn it. They need to get rid of some of the older players. They need to get younger. They need to get faster. I would expect a lot of roster turnover there in Philadelphia.
And look, by the way, you want to talk about contract extensions, and some of the maybe one of the more savvy ones that we've seen this year was Chris Greer giving Devontae Parker a contract extension before this season at a very minimal rate. It's like 2 years, 12 or 13 million, something like that. I mean, God, he played like a $15 million a year receiver against the Eagles on this day. I don't know if that's, you know, his MO for the, but this has been a breakout year for him. And he had done virtually nothing leading into this season to show you that he should, you know, continue on in this role. So look, good on them for recognizing something and getting the most out of their player. And that's a fun storyline to watch moving forward.
All right, no doubt. Keep us going.
Yeah, I'll keep us going. Yes. The defense could drive the Steelers to the playoffs.
Mayfield again in the shotgun, gets the snap, throws the pass, and the pass is intercepted. And that's Joe Hayden, the former Brown. He's at the 45. He's at the 50. He takes a dive at the 45, and you can put this one in the history books. What a fitting end for Joe Hayden, the former Browns, the former number one pick. The ball was intended for the Browns receiver in the middle of the field, and that was Landry, and the Steelers play takeaway, and Heinz Field is in a frenzy.
The Steelers now have four games this season where they have five-plus sacks and multiple takeaways. The only other team with four such games is the Patriots. This defense is keeping the Steelers rolling. Bud Dupree is having a really good season, probably his best season as a pro. He's got, he's got 8.5 sacks on the season. One of them was a strip sack in this game of Baker Mayfield. This defense held the Browns to 279 net yards in this game. And this was an offense from Cleveland that had been one of the hotter offenses in football the last 3 weeks here. So this was a really good defensive effort. They are keeping this team afloat, a team that has relied on, well, the B team, C team type of depth at the skill positions on offense. I mean, just starting at the quarterback there as well with Devlin Hodges, and a really good job by Mike Tomlin keeping this group together and keeping them afloat and keeping them in the hunt here in the AFC, DJ.
Yeah, I think, look, Jim Trotter, our buddy, that's going to be on the aftermath, is really, he's driving the bus here to get Mike Tomlin the Coach of the Year award. I can't argue with him with the job he's done, considering the situation at the quarterback position. Their front dominated. This, to me, though, is a great lesson for team builders when you're looking at building your NFL team. Tell me one Steelers offensive skill player that played in this game that would start for the Cleveland Browns, because I can't think of one. There's not one, not a running back. Not a receiver, not a quarterback. None of them would start for this Cleveland Browns team.
I'm with you on that.
But they're better in the trenches.
Yeah.
They're better on the offensive line. They're better on the defensive line. And that was the difference in this football game. And I also feel like, man, nobody talks about it because the situation was what it was. But does Myles Garrett play in this game? Is it different? I mean, does Devlin Hodges have that type of time to throw if Myles Garrett is playing in this game?
Does he protect Baker Mayfield? No. I mean, I don't.
No, but I'm just saying the points that they got, they had an early lead and they couldn't protect it. Myles Garrett's pretty good at that. So that was interesting to me. I thought they missed his presence in this football game.
Yeah, you're right. You're right about that. But they were up 20. They were up 10-0, and then the Steelers end up scoring 20 unanswered to go over there and win the game. And James Washington is quietly having a really good season right now, especially this run.
You might have bet on the wrong Oklahoma State horse there with this Pittsburgh Steelers,
right? Well, you might be right, man. It's been a tough go for Mason Rudolph this season, no question about it. But Duck Hodges, man, he's saving their bacon right now too. I mean, he's keeping that that offense in a position, you know, to score points.
Duck and bacon. I see what you
duck
did.
Duck and come on. And look. Again, the Minkah Fitzpatrick trade should have Kevin Colbert in the discussion for executive of the year, just for bringing him in. Yeah. Since week three, when Fitzpatrick came over, I mean, they have absolutely taken off as a defense. They're allowing just 16 points a game since Minkah's joined the team, and that's huge.
You think the Miami Dolphins, when they made that trade, knowing that Ben Roethlisberger was out, that
they thought that draft pick was going to be, yeah. I'm with you on that.
All right, let's keep the train rolling here. I was at a rookie debut up at Mile High there to watch a new quarterback. And we've seen a parade of quarterbacks since John Elway's been there. It's only 1 week. It's only one start, but they might have their guy.
Sutton wide right, shotgun time for Locke, pressure on him, throws the fade for Cortland Sutton. Sutton makes a diving effort, and he hauls it in for a Denver touchdown. That looked like a one-handed catch in the southwest corner of the end zone. A great throw by Drew Locke, an even better catch by Cortland Sutton. Locke's first touchdown pass in his NFL career, 26 yards to Cortland Sutton, 6-0 Denver.
What I loved about that touchdown to Cortland Sutton was Derwin James blitzed on that play. Unblocked, he's free, he's not going to be picked up. He just hung in there, identified the one-on-one with his best player in Cortland Sutton, put it up there, gave him a chance, and it was a touchdown. On the second touchdown Drew Locke had in this game to Cortland Sutton, before the snap, it looks like he's going to be bracketed. Derwin James is out there, and it looks like it's going to be an inside-outside bracket. It's both of them are on third downs. So you look at that pre-snap, the look he gets says, go away from Cortland Sutton. Well, then Derwin James comes off and goes to the flat because he's got to protect the flat. It's one-on-one with Hayward once again. He gets his eyes right to Derwin James. Post-snap, sees the movement. He's not bracketed. I've got one-on-one. My best player, third down, puts it on the money for another touchdown to Cortland Sutton. He was very efficient. I was impressed with how he processed, where he got the football on some certain shorts, quick little out routes. Had one boo-boo, one bad decision on the pick to Denzel Perriman over the middle of the field. But outside of that, really a nice debut there for Drew Locke.
Oh, man. I mean, I feel like if you're a Broncos fan, you're like... All right, finally, we got a little something we can grasp onto, a little hope we can have moving forward in the back end of what's been another lost season for this team. And I think this is what their fan base has been clamoring for. And look, I get it. The numbers don't just wow you, but man, that first quarter did. Man, that first half did from Drew Locke. And I thought it was interesting. You brought it up to us as we've been getting ready for the aftermath today. The confidence that Vic Fangio had to let Locke unleash one at the end of the game with seconds remaining and not just play for overtime. That was interesting.
It was a great call. I mean, I'm sitting there calling the game going, there's no chance they're going to take an ego to overtime. You're not going to, you know, you've got Bosa and Ingram, even though I haven't got to them all day long. Just why take the chance? What are the odds? And then he really was a beautifully executed play because he really throws the thing out of bounds. So you're either going to get a penalty or it goes out of bounds. There's no harm, no foul.
Right.
And you know, a different conversation for a different day, whether or not you blow that whistle at that point in time in a game on that play. Personally, I don't think you do.
Right.
But it happened, and it was a smart play. They showed the trust factor that he had there with Drew Locke, and he goes out and gets a win in his first NFL start. Ironic that Philip Rivers, during the draft process, had gone up to L.A. Jordan Palmer's training Drew Locke, was training Drew Locke. Who else did he have up there? He's had, you know, he's had Sam Darnold and Josh Allen. But they ended up bringing Daniel Jones was there, I believe, or he was training with Morris on the East Coast, same agency. But Philip went up there and spent time with Drew Locke in that run up to the draft and got to know him a little bit. So pretty cool for Drew Locke having that relationship.
Gets his first win,
Beat the veteran there in your first start. Pretty cool.
That is cool.
Very good start there for him in his career.
No question.
All right, let's keep things going here. We got some Rams for us.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to get you right now. The Rams get right, DJ. But for how long?
Three receivers out left, one right. Goff has a shotgun snap. Looking right all the way. He spins one to the goal line. And a toe tap by Cooper Kupp for the touchdown. Touchdown, LA! Jared Goff couldn't have walked it down there and placed it any better. Cooper Kupp brings it in to take the lead to 26-0.
Jared Goff throwing his first touchdown passes in this game since week 8. It had been some 35 days since Goff had gotten the Rams into the end zone in the pass game. Thank goodness, man. And 417 of his 424 passing yards in this game came in the first three quarters. I mean, they jumped on the Cardinals from the start, and that was good to see. That was fun to see. It reminded me of Rams' recent past. It reminded me of what they can do, and also reminded me that the Cardinals are not a very good defense. Not at all. And they're also not a very good offensive line because the Rams defensive comes up with six sacks in this game as well. Look, it was good to see Gurley go for about 5 yards a carry with 95 yards. Look, this is a good feeling. I think one thing that you can hold onto for this offensive performance from the Rams was seeing Jared Goff go 11 for 11 with 8 passing first downs on third downs. He was perfect on third downs throwing the football in this game. That's a money down no matter who you play. I think that's important. That's something they can build on moving forward. But this is Arizona. So now what? Next up, you get Seattle. You go to Dallas. Go to San Francisco. So if you can't get by Seattle and San Francisco, none of this matters because you're not in the postseason.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. To me, the encouraging thing, if you're a Rams fan, is Jared Goff, 43 dropbacks, only sacked one time. So they did a better job
as well. Yep.
Pass protection. That's going to be the challenge for them. That's still my concern for them as you look at that schedule that was laid out and you look at the pass rush they're going to see. It's not just going to be Chandler Jones. You know, you got a one-man band there rushing the passer for the Arizona Cardinals. You're going to see a whole boatload of pass rushers and good defensive fronts coming down the stretch. So that would be my concern. But you're right, Rhett. They needed a big output. Jared Goff needed this, a nice little confidence boost for him after his struggle. So it was good to see one of the young quarterbacks in this league who's got paid a whole lot of money, a lot of pressure on him going forward. It was nice to see him come out of that adversity, showing some mental toughness with that performance. All right, let's bring in our buddy here. We got Buck here for a
international
takeaways. Oh, yeah, Buck, I'm not going to say across the pond. I'm just not a fan of that.
That's fine.
Buck over in England with his takeaway.
The Baltimore Ravens are primed for a Super Bowl run.
Hurst goes in motion, and then Ingram is 3 yards behind him. Hurst goes in return motion. He fakes the handoff to Ingram. Going to lob one for the end zone. Caught by Mark Andrews for a touchdown.
When you look at the Baltimore Ravens and the way that they play, number 8 plus the run game plus the defense sets them up to make a great run. When I watched them play against the San Francisco 49ers on Sunday, what I saw was Lamar Jackson controlling the game as a game manager. He only had 200 total yards of offense and only a little over 100 passing, but because he was able to gain his fourth 100-yard game, he was able to really control it, manage the game, and keep the Ravens in positive situations. When I look at this team playing against four heavyweight teams that they've knocked off, this is a team that doesn't fear anybody. There's one that they are a team that has all of the components to win big games on the road or at home. I think this team is dangerous. They're going to be dangerous in the playoffs. I can't wait to see how they continue to evolve their offense.
Oh, there you go, Buck. Doing a lot of work for us. I don't even know what time of the day he was able to get that recorded for us, but a hat tip there to Bucky for giving us his takeaway on the Baltimore Ravens. My thing, Rhett, when you look at this game and you watch the tape, it's amazing to me how uncomfortable they make defensive players in the front seven. And it's not the uncomfortable guy because he's getting double teamed. It's not the uncomfortable guy because he's getting single blocked. It's the unblocked defender that doesn't know what to do. Do I crash on the back? Do I slow play it? Do I attack the quarterback? There's one play in particular. We're going to show it on the aftermath where Eric Armstead is he's unblocked, and he gets to the mesh point. He could either tackle the running back or the quarterback. He just freezes because he's paralyzed trying to figure out how do I guess right here, and did nothing. So it is definitely got defenses on their heels. And in a day where the weather was crappy, you weren't going to be able to throw the ball very much, I think that versatility to their run game was huge. Look, the 49ers ran it well as well, but I think Lamar Jackson being able to run third and shorts, fourth and shorts, that was the key to the ball game.
Yeah, I'm with you. So now, you know, what would the 49ers do differently if they do get an opportunity? As Kyle Shanahan mentioned, he'd love to have that shot to earn another chance to see the Ravens, which would only happen, of course, in a Super Bowl situation down in Miami in Super Bowl 54. I'd love to see it again. I think everyone would love to see it again. I'd love to see it again in, you know, maybe some better conditions as well. I think it was really interesting the way that this game was. 31 points were scored in the first half of this game. 6 points were scored in the second half. Robert Saleh's defense did not allow a point to be scored until time had expired with Justin Tucker's game-winning field goal. So they had kind of figured out a little bit on how to keep the points off the board at least. You know, the Ravens were moving the ball on the one drive where he did have his first fumble of the season, which was a terrific play by the DB to strip and recover it. So, you know, I think this will be a fun chess match to watch moving forward for the Ravens. How do teams again try to figure out a way to defend this Lamar Jackson-led run game. I think that'll be fascinating moving forward. But they've passed every test, and they passed every test within the framework of this game as well.
Well, you look at Jimmy Garoppolo turning the football over, giving the Ravens a short field. You take that away. That San Francisco 49ers defense did a really nice job, and I think it is interesting when you look at the connection with Gus Bradley and what they were able to do in the playoffs last year against the Baltimore Ravens, a game that's been referenced a zillion times. And then you look at Robert Saleh coming from that tree there. There's a relationship there. I still don't think that they, you know, had it figured out trying to find the football. I think you would see, again, in a second meeting, I would be fascinated to see this Baltimore Ravens in meeting number two with a lot of these football teams.
Hey, just real quick, we mentioned it. You mentioned you'd have Gardner Minshew start for the Jacksonville Jaguars in 2020. He will start this Sunday for the Jags. They just sent that out. Yep. The Jaguars
has
did.
To.
So there you go. Breaking has news, to. No surprise.
And by the way, I do want to tease. We've got another show coming up tomorrow, and we will get into some of the college football news. I know, Rhett, you were just texting me. I just looked and saw that information on Chris Peterson. We'll save that. We won't do that on the Takeaway Pod, but we will get to that here later in the week. Some big news there in college football, and I think you'll see more changes before we get back on the mics. Let's get to Bucky's last takeaway here, and that involves a team in the AFC West.
The Kansas City Chiefs are the NFL's version of the Houston Rockets.
It's 6:38 to go, second quarter. Mahomes takes the snap from Ryder, drifts to his left, holds the ball in his right hand. He can run. He's at the 10. He's at the 5. Angling near front pylon. Touchdown, Kansas City. A 13-yard scramble.
Pat Mahomes is really like James Harden. He is a maestro with the ball. He does a great job of getting the ball out to the playmakers, Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. And what we're seeing is their offense is their best defense. Because they can put so many points on the board, they really force opponents to get out of their offensive sets. They make them one-dimensional, and they're tough. The Kansas City Chiefs are a dominant team with the potential to run anyone out the stadium. Their offense is their best defense, and that gives them a chance to make a deep run.
Great to hear from Buck there. When you look at this football game, really a Raiders defense, man. I thought they did a nice job. You look at 175 passing yards from Pat Mahomes, only one touchdown. They don't have a runner go for over 44 yards. They rush for under 100 yards. And you're the Raiders. You have Josh Jacobs go over 100. Maybe you don't win that football game. You should. You're at least in it. They got their doors blown off because of 12 penalties and 3 turnovers. That was a killer for the Oakland Raiders. So while I agree with Buck that this Chiefs team has a ceiling, that they can play with anybody, they can beat anybody, they have the talent to win a Super Bowl, this particular game to me felt like a just not ready yet Raider game is what it felt like to me.
No, I think you're right there. And I think there were some encouraging signs for the Chiefs, not necessarily on offense, but on defense. And look, I know the Raiders aren't blowing anybody's doors off offensively this year, although you know, Josh Jacobs has been a good run. He ran for over 100. You know, that's good to see. But I think the way the Chiefs have played on defense, this is something encouraging for them moving forward. And then if you look ahead now for the Chiefs, they can score 20 points against just about anybody, right? I mean, nobody's going to hold them to under 20 points. So when they match up against the Patriots, can the Patriots score 20 against the Chiefs? I don't know at this point. Yeah. So, you know, that now, you know, you kind of have to worry about the top of the AFC here. Not worry about it, but under, you know, outside of the Ravens, you know, who's going to move into that number two spot? The Patriots are still there right now, but do we feel like the Chiefs might still have a chance if they can get past the Patriots down the stretch here? It's going to be fun to watch.
I kind of like the Chiefs in the underdog role that they're in right now. Where it's not really clicking. I mean, they're not even really offensively going to be on the highlight shows this week. I mean, there's not those unbelievable plays where the Chiefs are always front of mind. The Baltimore Ravens are that team right now. They're the team where we're gushing about them. We're talking about them nonstop. They're the favorites. Everything goes through them. That's been Kansas City. With Pat Mahomes
no last question.
Year. That's not the case this year. And I kind of like Andy Reid, Pat Mahomes, and a little bit of this underdog role.
18-3 now, Andy Reid coming off a bye. Darn impressive.
Yeah. No, you don't want to see Andy Reid off a bye. That's one of life's great truths.
All right, man. There it is. 10 takeaways.
All right, well, that's going to do it for us here on the Move the Sticks Takeaway Podcast presented by AARP. We do appreciate you guys listening, watching, and I hope that you will continue to check us out here on Move the Sticks. DJ, Bucky, and Rhett with all the crew behind the glass, led by Ryan Bartlett. It's been a lot of fun. The NFL season is getting to the good stuff. Cannot wait to keep it going here on Move the Sticks presented by AARP.
Thanks for downloading Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah, Bucky Brooks, and Rhett Lewis. For more, go to NFL.com/podcasts.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.